منتف رسول الله the best things of شعبان the منتف رسول الله the best things of شعبان the blessings of شعبان.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, once again we welcome you in our program Fast is a Shield. In our previous episodes, we've been covering different perspectives to fast being a shield. We've so far covered fast being a shield for spiritual diseases, fast being a shield for the turmoils of the afterlife. Our today's topic is fast being a shield against physical ailments, against physical diseases. Yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, fast is also very, very beneficial for our physical well-being, for our physical health. Again, today, alhamdulillah, we have the honor of our honorable Muballigh of Dawat Islami, Dr. Khurram Attari Sahib, to be with us, who will be taking us through this beautiful topic, where he'll be sharing immense amount of knowledge with us in regards to how fast is a shield against physical ailments, how fasting is so beneficial for our physical well-being, for our health. But before we do that, as always, let's enlighten our hearts by listening to a virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has stated that he who recites salat upon me 50 times a day, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. What a great honor. What a beautiful virtue that the one who recites Salat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam 50 times a day, 50 times a day, doesn't take much of the time. What is the reward behind it? Final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam will shake hands with that fortunate individual. And the lucky, the fortunate individual who will receive this honor on the day of judgment to have his hand shaken by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Can we imagine how fortunate he would be? What great ranks he would have in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we need to do, as stated by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in this beautiful hadith, is recite salat upon me 50 times a day at least. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Our topic of the day: fast as a shield against physical ailments, against physical diseases. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, fasting is very, very beneficial for our health as well, for our physical well-being as well. Whether it is gut diseases, whether it is heart diseases, whether it is diabetes, for many, many diseases, you will find fasting to be very, very helpful. But of course, the sole purpose behind fasting should be the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the hindsight, we also get these benefits as well. There we get physically healthier as well by fasting. So fasting as a shield against physical diseases. Without wasting any further time, let's go towards our honorable guest, our Dr. Khurram Attari Sahib, who can shed more light on this important topic, so that we can sort of develop a mindset in regards to fasting, but again with the intention of pleasing Allah Almighty, and in the hindsight also get these physical benefits as well.
Jazakallah khairan. Thank you very much again for the opportunity. And yes, as you rightly said, yes, there are loads of physical benefits of keeping fast, staying healthy, but the most important thing, as you said, is that our sole purpose is to seek Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure. Yes. That's why we keep fast. And all these are secondary benefits.
Indeed.
So, yes, if we stay healthy, we will, inshallah, we'll have more strength to then hopefully use it to do more ibadah, to do more worship. So I think if we have that intention, the more righteous intention we make, the more reward we attain, and we multiply the virtues as well. So I guess if we can start, as we have done in our other episodes, is by seeking the grace of the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as in our first episode, we discussed the comprehensiveness, yet in a concise fashion, delivered by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think here again, the hadith which I want to quote, and two words, but actually in those two words, it's an entire ocean of knowledge which has been brought in these two words. So our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Sumu tasihhu,"
subhanAllah.
Keep fast, be healthy.
SubhanAllah. Preciseness with conciseness.
SubhanAllah. Absolutely. You know, so whether we, you know, precision, the accuracy of those statements, which of course can never be disproven until the day of judgment. But if you think for a moment, and that, you know, tells us about the truthfulness of our beautiful deed, that over 14 centuries ago, that's when these words were uttered. But the light of those words, the noor of those words, we are still benefiting from that. We're still learning from that. And you know, today, the things which we are going to discuss about against the physical ailments. But before we go into the effect of shielding against physical ailments, the word which here, which has been chosen by the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is health. So when I'm teaching medical students or even my junior colleagues, this is one of the commonest questions I would ask. I would say, define health. And almost inadvertently, or sometimes just this is a general conception, and I guess for a lot of audience and views, Mother Nature, they might share the same view. Most people would say being disease free is health.
Right.
That's what most people think. You know, so if I don't have any of the chronic diseases, diabetes, hypertension, then I'm healthy. But actually, that's not true.
Okay.
Because the concept of health is actually much bigger than that.
Right.
It encompasses a lot more than just being disease free. So, for example, we sometimes equate health to industrialized nations.
Right.
So we say actually the first world countries, the developed economies, because they have wealth, so of course they would be healthy. But the World Health Organization publishes health index for all the countries in the world. And if you look at developed nations, particularly the country where we are now, it actually comes far lower in the health status compared to lots of other countries. Well, if it was just wealth which would define the health of a society, of a nation, then these countries should be top of the
Indeed.
List. But they're not. Why is that? Because wealth doesn't buy health.
Allah.
SubhanAllah. Just being disease-free doesn't buy health. Because we know that there are so many people in this world who may be disease-free, but they actually can't sleep. They actually have stress, they have tensions, they have so many other problems which are not tangible. Sometimes you can't even measure them. But if you were to do a quality of life survey, and there have been so many studies having done that, you would find that industrialized nations would come a lot lower on that list. So health is actually perhaps the word which goes closest to the meaning of that is well-being. That is perhaps closer to health. But this is, I'm telling now, with centuries of knowledge culminating in this, you know, the era of the height of medical science development and advancement. And I'm sharing it with you now. And how come over 14 centuries ago, the word which was chosen at that time was Seha? So that's again the beauty of the words of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. And the other thing which is associated with this whole concept of health and being free of physical ailments is that it is not just limited to the physical aspects of the disease, but actually if you look at any physical disease, it wouldn't just have one impact on the body.
Right.
There would be several impacts, layers of impacts it would have on people. So as I said, mental health is a big one, and it is quite common. It's actually, there's a lot of research which is going into that. So how come that person would actually look healthy from outside, but biologically they're not healthy? And that's why we've come up with this concept of, yes, there is a physical age, but then there's also biological age. So biologically, someone could be a lot older or younger, depending on their status of health. This is a huge topic. We could, you know, go for hours right. discussing that. But I guess the point I want to make is, one was the beauty of the hadith and how comprehensively, in two words, it defines what health is. And it also gives us the key to health. And it says, keep fast.
SubhanAllah.
And so if we take just one example of that, and that is the problems of the gastrointestinal tract, the problems of the gut,
right.
problems of stomach, problems of intestines, very common currently. I'll give some stats on that as well. But before that, again, if I could quote another hadith of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is a hadith in Mursal. So this is a hadith which is narrated by Tabi'een.
Right,
Rahimahullah al-Mubin, from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without mentioning the name of the companion of Allah ta'ala. So that's Mursal hadith, and it says that without doubt, shaitan travels inside a person like its blood.
Allah.
Therefore, one should constrain the Satan's movement by hunger and thirst. What a beautiful way to describe it. Because blood, everybody understands. An average human being carries between 5 and 7 liters of blood,
right?
Which is being pumped through our heart to the entire body. And this is supplying all of our vital organs. But it's been centuries old concept, even before the concepts of modern medical science came into being. People understood this whole concept of blood being unhealthy, and how it could actually carry diseases. Today we would understand it as what we call hematogenous spread. So the blood spreading a disease. So for example, one person get bitten somewhere, but actually the disease spreads and they can become septicemic.
Right.
The other thing is that there are healthy benefits. So actually if you inject someone, like with a vaccine, and then it is carried throughout the body. But here what we're advised is that shaitan actually travels in our blood. And how we should constrain its path, how we should actually squeeze him out, is by hunger and thirst. So that means it was understood the benefits on our circulatory system of fasting, of staying hungry, of staying thirsty. And that's what Ramadan, that's what fasting is actually achieving.
And I think also nowadays there's also another terminology that is used. Intermittent fasting, I think.
That's right.
Medically, we are prescribed to fast, I think, every other day. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, the concept of fasting is also being used by the medical science of today,
right.
of the 21st century.
Right.
Whereas the hadith which you started in the beginning of our program today, very beautifully in that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, in a very precise and concise fashion, he alayhi salatu wasalam told us that health lies in fasting. Fasting improves the health of a person, the well-being of a person. Now, all these concepts of medical science, which revolve around fasting for the improvement of the health of a person, doesn't this make us realize that no doubt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a true messenger of Allah Almighty, the words that he spoke of. Where would he get this knowledge from?
That's right.
From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fasting, again, from the same point that you mentioned, that narrow the path of Satan through hunger and thirst. If we link this concept back to our previous episodes of enhancing spirituality and fasting being a shield against turmoils of the hereafter. You see, through hunger and thirst, the path of Satan narrows down between our veins, which of course would enable us to refrain from sin, increasing our spirituality, which will of course save us from the turmoils of the hereafter. So how beautifully it all correlates between each other. We started from the turmoils of afterlife, then fasting being shield against spiritual diseases, and now against physical ailments. So it's a beautiful concept. Islam is a beautiful religion, and we can't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for making us amongst the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose teachings are universal.
That's right.
And they are for every day and age. We just need to understand, as the beautiful example we saw of the hadith of the Prophet والسلام, that keep fast and be healthy. Now, Dr. Saab, as you mentioned about gut diseases, I would like you to shed more light on other diseases as well, that how fast serves as a shield against other physical diseases. But before that, let us take the Views of Madani channel to our next segment, where inshallah we will enlighten our hearts with the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the beautiful math of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then inshallah we'll come back and resume this very topic of ours and continue our discussion from where we are leaving it right now. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Madine jane walo, jao jao, fi amanillah. مدینے جانے والو جاؤ جاؤ فی امان اللہ کبھی تو اپنا بھی لگ جائے گا بستر مدینے میں نہ ہو مایوس دیوانوں پکارے جاؤ تم ان کو نہ ہو مایوس دیوانوں پکارے جاؤ تم ان کو بلائیں گے تمہیں بھی ایک دن سرور مدینے میں سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی بنے مدینے میں آقا آرزو ہے سینے میں گھر بنے مدینے میں ہو کرم جو بندے پر بندہ پروری ہوگی ہو کرم جو بندے پر بندہ پروری ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی بات کیا ہے بادِ صبا اتنی کیوں معطل ہے بات کیا ہے بادِ صبا اتنی کیوں معطل ہے سبز سبز گنبد کو چوم کر چلی ہوگی سبز سبز گنبد کو چوم کر چلی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے، سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے، نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی، نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی، سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی، کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی، جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی، دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانہ، دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانہ، ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی، ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی، سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی، کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی، جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی، بلا لو ہم غریبوں کو، بلا لو اے میرے آقا، میں آؤں آپ کے در پر، کرم ہو اے میرے آقا،
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. Welcome back to JWZF Madani channel, and we were talking about fast being a shield against physical ailments. See, Doctor, we spoke about gut diseases very briefly, and we also spoke about two beautiful ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In this relation, what else would you say in terms of how fast serves as a shield against physical ailments, and what benefits do we attain out of it from health perspectives, or whatever you would like to share with the viewers of Madani channel?
So I want to actually share a story
right
from not so long ago, and again it highlights the, as we were talking about, the truthfulness of Islam and how those who actually research Islam, they would come to know, no matter which religion they belong to, if they read it without any sort of hypocrisy or without any shade of doubt,
from a neutral perspective,
from a very neutral perspective. So I was attending this huge conference, and usually at the end of our conferences there is this motivational speaker who is usually invited to share their life story or something they have, achievements they've had and how did they achieve it. So, and this is a whole group of healthcare professionals,
right?
It was, consultants and nurses and lots of other healthcare professionals. And this person, he works for a huge global broadcasting institute. He is a doctor turned journalist.
Right.
And he has written a book on this whole concept. You were talking about intermittent fasting. So there are several types of intermittent fasting. So one of them is this called 5-2 diet.
Okay.
So this 5-2 diet, he introduced this concept. And so basically what it is that 5 days a week, you would eat up to the recommended daily allowance of calories,
right,
which for a man is 2,500 calories, and for a woman would be 2,000 calories.
Right.
And 2 days a week, you would eat between 600 to 800 calories maximum, okay, in 24 hours. So this is Five to Diet. And it became so famous that his book was translated in 28 different languages.
Allah.
It was all around the world, sold millions of copies, became a very sort of, you know, famous author as a result of that. And so he was our motivational speaker. And he basically shared his whole concept of 5-2 diet. And by fasting on these 2 days of the week, what you can actually achieve in terms of health benefits. And there's a huge spectrum of benefits you achieve. So on your metabolic health, on your hormonal health, on the health of the gut, the lower level of inflammation. So he, you know, there was a whole lecture on that. And after that, I actually then asked him a question. I said that, you know, this concept of 5-2 diet and all of those things you've done, actually, do you know that our Prophet over 14 centuries ago, he taught us to keep fast on Monday and Thursday, 2 days of the week. So we're talking obviously about the obligatory fast. But our beloved Prophet taught us to keep the supplementary, optional fast. And that was the way of our final Prophet. So I said, do you not think that this is exactly the same thing? Yes, you have modernized it and you talked about caloric value of foods and all of that. But isn't that the same thing? And what does he say? He said that, you know, when I published that book, I got sacks of letters and correspondence from Muslims all around the world. That this is exactly what we were told 14 centuries ago.
Subhanallah.
But the point he made after that, he said that I have advertised it in this day and age, and all these famous people around the world are following it, and they are reaping the benefits. So the question is, what benefits have you achieved?
Allah.
And, you know, it was a conversation. But I guess the point he made, and I thought that was a very well made point, we have all of this.
Indeed.
We have been taught all
Indeed.
Of this. If we follow the principles of Quran, if we read Hadith, if we actually sit in the company of those who are fasting people, then that is what we will achieve. You know, so we talk about how medical science has achieved this and we've done this and all of that. But actually, the principle.
When you're talking about 5-2 diet, right? It all of a sudden attracts me.
Yeah.
Right? All of a sudden, I would be like, yeah, I need to do that.
That's right.
But 2 fasts a day, why doesn't this attract me?
Exactly.
Now, we were talking about intermittent fasting early on, and that is fasting every other day. What is Somay Dawoodi?
Yeah.
And Dawood alayhi salam, he would fast every other day.
That's right.
So all these practices, alhamdulillah, our beautiful religion Islam does teach us.
That's right.
2 fasts a day, Monday and Thursday. We've been encouraged to keep 2 fasts at least every week.
That's right.
Then we have Iyam Abid, fasting for 3 days in the month as well. So, and these are voluntary fasts.
That's
We're
right.
talking about another third fast, voluntary fast.
That's right.
Now imagine someone who follows these prophetic teachings regularly throughout his life.
That's right.
Who fasts every week for 2 days.
That's right.
Throughout his life.
Yeah.
Imagine what great health benefits he would get.
That's right.
Obviously, spiritual benefits are aside. We're talking about primarily on the physical health, the physical well-being. The word well-being, I would bring into discussion over here.
Sure.
What great physical benefits he would start getting.
That's right.
Now, a person writes a book with the name of 5-2 diet.
Exactly.
Whereas beautifully in the hadith, we've been persuaded, we've been encouraged to do that 14 centuries ago.
That's right.
Then Somay Dawoodi, we are giving it a name of intermittent fasting, and all of a sudden, everyone is like, yes, I want to do that. I've been prescribed by a dietitian, by my doctor.
That's right.
But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the master of the universe, the beloved of Allah Almighty, he's already told us
That's right.
that this is what we need to do.
That's right.
And just imagine how beautifully the fast would serve as a shield for us against physical ailments if only we follow this beautiful prophetic tradition of fasting 2 days a week.
That's right. And we know that from the time of the era of the physical presence of our beloved Prophet in the parent's life, that, you know, it's very famous that there used to be a Hakim, so I guess a doctor of those days, who did come and stayed in Madinatul Munawwarah. So he stayed there for, it was several weeks or perhaps several months, and nobody ever came to him.
Allahu Akbar.
So he actually inquired after that. He said, how come there is no ill people here? And they said, well, since our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has graced this land with his presence, with his blessed foot, no one gets in here. Why? How come those Sahaba Kiram alayhim ridwan, they were not rich people by worldly standards. They didn't have, you know, all these modern forms of exercise bikes and machines and all these, you know, the immensity of food which we have. They didn't have any of that. There was none of those. And, you know, Ashab al-Suffa Ali Maridwan would go days without eating or drinking anything. Would spend, we hear about these wars where there would be one date which would suffice three Sahaba Ikram. They would be just sucking on it. And that would be their, the total food they will get. How come they were so healthy? Sayyidina Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahu al-Kareem with his bare hands can actually destroy an entire this whole fort and can pull the door from its hinges, which would take 1,000 people to move. How come? Because they followed this prophetic tradition. They adhered to the golden words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the difference. So exactly as you said, and I think that's what, if I say something as a doctor, certainly people are happy to accept it. They are willing to believe it because, you know, he's done training and that's why he's got experience and all of that. But if I say the same thing, but actually relaying the tradition of the Holy Prophet, suddenly I don't carry the same level of conviction in that conversation. Why is that? You know, that relates again to the great revivalist we talked about previously, our Imam Ahlus Sunnah, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he says that I was foretold that in the coming Ramadan, I would get ill. And I was told by my father that whatever happens, no matter how ill you are, don't leave fast. Why? He quoted the same hadith. Sumu tasihu. Keep fast, be healthy. But look at the strength of his faith in the saying of the Holy Prophet. Just the mere fact. You know, we get a little bit of cold and we say, oh no, I can't keep fast today. I get a little bit of headache, a bit of tummy ache. No, I can't keep fast. All these excuses I'm using, you know, this is very difficult to keep fast because I'm ill. And here he's so ill, he was almost bedridden. And he says that, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, I did not miss a single fast. And by the grace of fasting, Allah Ta'ala blessed me with health. So that's the strength of the faith we need. So I quoted this example of this, you know, great author, and then the listeners will think, you know, wow, you know, there are these people, Orientalists and all these researchers, and they are proving all of these things. But just because they have said, yes, I'm happy to believe it.
So I think that's one of the main problems I would say over here is the problem of belief. You were talking about the fourth caliph of Islam, the Lion of Allah, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. How healthy he was.
That's right.
How powerful he was.
That's right.
And the main reason behind it was following of the prophetic teachings.
That's right.
The prophetic saying. The Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan, when we get their life routine, when we get the way they live their lives, they followed a sunnah because it was a sunnah.
Right.
And we leave a sunnah because it's a sunnah.
Yeah, true.
This is a stark contrast between our attitude and their attitude. Honorable Companions, alayhim ridwan, they would go to any extent just to follow one small sunnah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. No sunnah small, but of course I'm talking from the worldly perspective. Even any action of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Uthman bin Affan, the third caliph of Islam, Uthman bin Affan, radiallahu anhu, once after performing wudu, he was smiling. What was the reason for smiling? Because my master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once after performing wudu at this place, he also smiled. No apparent reason.
That's right.
Why is he smiling? The Prophet once smiled after performing wudu. Many of the examples we see, Sahaba Ikram Ali Maridwan performed an action and there was no apparent reason for doing that. The only reason behind it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed this action.
That's
Sahaba Ikram and Ali Maridwan, they devoted their lives for following the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They would follow the practice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They would adhere to the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because it was the sunnah of the Prophet. They understood the importance of the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And why we leave a sunnah? It's just a sunnah. That's our attitude. As soon as we develop this mindset, that this is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I need to do this.
That's right.
All of a sudden, the tables will be turned around. All of a sudden, the mindset will be changed. All of a sudden, the importance will be increased and we will end up performing it. The main thing over here is understanding the fact that how important it is for us to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how important it is for us to understand the value of the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the current mindset that we have, that it's just a sunnah. I'll just abide by the fara'id. We need to come out of this mindset. Only then we will reap the true fruits of well-being in this world as well as in the hereafter. Inshallah, Dr. We'll come back to you and talk about other physical ailments and how fasting benefits and becomes a shield against them as well, along with other narrations as well, inshallah. But before that, it is time for our next segment where we will, inshallah, listen to a blessed hadith. Straight after that, inshallah, we'll continue our discussion right from where we're leaving it right now. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he once ordered the companions to fast, and then he said to them that they must not break their fast until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permits them to do so. Allahu Akbar, the companions, they fasted. When evening, when night came, the companions, they did not break their fast. Why? They had to wait until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives them permission to break their fast. One companion comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, I have fasted throughout the day. Ya Rasulullah, I am waiting for your permission to break my fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permits them to do so. Another companion comes, various, the companions, they come. And then one companion, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are two girls in my house who have also fasted. They feel shy to come before yourself. But Ya Rasulullah, do they have permission to break their fast? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turns his blessed and noble face away from this companion. Allahu Akbar. Again the companion says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do these two girls have permission to break their fast? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble, his blessed countenance, his beautiful face, he turns away. In his own method and beautiful way and manner. It cannot be reprimanded. It cannot be replicated. A third time a day goes on within his challenge, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to him, that these two girls, they have not fasted. They have not fasted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, they have not fasted. Go to them and tell them that whatever they have eaten, they must vomit. Allahu Akbar. He goes home. He goes to these two girls, and this is what he says to them, that you have been ordered to vomit. In another narration, it mentions that he says that, Ya Rasulullah, they're about to die. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls them, and then they are made to vomit. And what do they vomit? They vomit flesh, they vomit blood. Allahu Akbar. This is what they vomit. Why? Because although they may have refrained from eating throughout the day, although they may have refrained from drinking throughout the day, but they had been backbiting. Allahu Akbar. It is as if you are eating the flesh of another individual, another brother. Hadith was on the channel. There are many lessons to be learned from this. Amongst these, fasting, yes, is refraining from eating, it is refraining from drinking, from fulfilling one's desires. But, my dear viewers, it is not only these things, no. Fasting, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, is also refraining from sin. Fasting is performing good extra worship and refraining from sin. Another thing we learn is that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, of course, he's a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has the ilm al-ghayb, a person who has granted knowledge of the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed this knowledge upon him. Yes, the Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he also has knowledge of the unseen. He knows what is taking place in our houses, in the houses of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. But if you on the channel, fast, but also refrain from, as well as food and water, etc. That's not throughout the month of Ramadan, that's during the day. Whilst we're keeping our fast, also refrain from sin. Back to the studio. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What a beautiful hadith. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, just before going to the segment of hadith, we were talking about the sunnahs of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sayings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that how valuable they are for us, not only for the afterlife, but also for the well-being and health in this world as well, in this life as well. How the beloved companions alayhim ridwan, they attained the goodness of this world and of the hereafter, was by following the sunnahs of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and by following them, because they were sunnahs, by following the teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And we need to also develop similar kind of attitude within our nature, where we also follow the sunnahs and follow the prophetic traditions, the prophetic sayings which we've been instructed in different ahadith. Dear Doctor, we spoke about certain diseases before and how fasting becomes a shield against them. What else would you like to share with the viewers of Madani Channel?
So another, I guess, quite a stark statistic, and which it would be interesting for the audience as well. So if you look at a human body, so we have, on average, about 75 trillion cells.
Right.
So cell is the basic unit of life.
Right.
And there are about 75 trillion cells in an adult human body.
Allah.
Look at the beauty of creation of Allah subhanahu wa
ta'ala.
But another thing which is even more mind-boggling than that is that there are over 100 trillion bacteria in our gut.
Allah. Just in the gut we talk
just
about.
In the gut. Over 100 trillion bacteria.
How many zeros would there be?
Exactly.
A person would be lost.
Subhanallah. And what are those bacteria doing? So these are what we call good bacteria. They are responsible for digesting our food.
Right.
So that is why we, you know, as a normal part of the process of gut metabolism happens, it is those bacteria which are helping us do that. And the term we use for them is something called gut microbiome.
Right.
That's the word we use for that. It's that relationship that those bacteria have with our gut. And the incredible thing is, I'm sure most people would know, our fingerprints. Before the DNA technology, fingerprints was the most common way to differentiate people, be it for cases around criminology or for any other reason.
Right.
We would use the fingerprints for investigations, for example. So, and the reason is that every human being has a different fingerprint. The amazing thing is that there are billions of humans. They are carrying several trillions of bacteria. And the microbiome signature is different for everyone.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Look at the diversity of creation of Allah.
Subhanallah.
For what? To keep us healthy.
Subhanallah.
So it is our responsibility, it is our job to keep them healthy, because they're working for us. It is actually our workforce in our own body, in our own gut, which is helping us achieve that right balance through the microbiome. So the problem we have is that when we are constantly filling our stomach and our gut with all these unhealthy foods, so all the deep fried food and all this, the so-called, you know, fast food and everything else, what we're actually doing is that we are giving quite a hard task to those bacteria to help it digest. So they would ultimately harm the digestion. And we can, you know, that is a topic in itself about our diet and nutrition mm-hmm. and how that. But the other thing which can happen, so one example I would give is that when we take antibiotics, for example, for any disease, that those antibiotics, usually now, you will see that a doctor would prescribe a probiotic with it. So what are these? These are usually either yogurts or these are sachets, which we are asked to take with antibiotic. Why? So that they can maintain the healthy flora. Right. Because what antibiotics do is that as it kills the bacteria, the bad bacteria which are causing infection, they will also kill these good bacteria, which we have in our gut to help digest. So in order to try and re-flourish and replenish that healthy flora, we are advised to take probiotics.
Right.
There is one condition which I look after as a rheumatologist, and that is called systemic sclerosis. All what happens in that condition is that wherever we have this collagenous elastic tissue in our body, like, you know, if we get a cut on our skin, it heals. But, and there is elasticity, so I can pull the skin. So this elasticity is happening because of this something called collagen. What this condition does is that it replaces the elastic tissue with fibrous tissue, what we will call scarring.
Right.
So sometimes we would get a, which wouldn't heal properly, and then that would leave a permanent scar.
Right.
So what has happened is that it is a tissue which has, does not contain that level of elasticity. It's been replaced. So in that condition, all that happens is that wherever the soft tissue is to support, it is replaced by that fibrous tissue or the scar tissue. When that happens in the gut, what it would do is that it would not allow the normal rhythmic movement of the gut, something which we don't even think about. You know, this is just involuntarily happening. But that just normal rhythmic movement, what we call peristalsis in the gut, that requires for those bacteria to constantly move, shift their position, and that is how they actually continue to multiply, and it's related with their growth and all of that. So in that condition, we lose that. And what happens is that just have a normal bacteria, but they start to overgrow.
Right.
Because they're not normally moving. And that is what we call small bowel bacterial overgrowth. What it leads to is a permanent disease of the bowel, which can ultimately lead to serious infections and lots of serious consequences. So again, to bring you to a story. So I was in US, huge conference, over 4,000 people, healthcare professionals related to my field of rheumatology. This professor standing on the podium, delivering a talk about systemic sclerosis, this particular condition. And he's a gut specialist.
Right.
And so he gives all these, you know, statistics to impress upon, I guess, the audience of look at what health is, value health, why it's important. So as part of that, he gave example, he said, you know, when we are really hungry, what we sometimes can hear is our bowels moving. Yeah, so there's a gurgling sound which
right,
comes.
Yeah.
That's the hunger pangs. So those hunger pangs, what he said that the moment we get that, what's our next desire? Let's eat something quickly,
yeah.
You know, because this is uncomfortable. Or someone can hear them. It doesn't sound right. And he said, actually, what science has proven, that this is equivalent to dishwasher waves. So as the dishwasher would take all the dirt away, actually these movements which we can hear, they're actually removing all the bad bacteria and allowing the good bacteria to flourish. These are actually dishwasher waves. So what he was saying, he said, I'm actually encouraging you to stay hungry, to let your bowel do that. Give it some time. You're not going to die if you didn't eat straight away. So he said that, and you know, people were all impressed, you know, and all these thousands of people thinking, wow, okay, we never thought about it like that. And at that moment, I thought,
Allah,
this is what a fasting person actually gets. And there are traditions to say that when a person gets those hunger pangs, they actually seek Allah Ta'ala's mercy.
SubhanAllah.
Because a fasting person is actually achieving that. So I said, look, he is telling us the worldly benefits, but actually that's been demonstrated in the lives of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the blessed companions, Ali Maridwan. They left their tummies to do that. You know, it's very famous that number of times when Sahaba Ikram Ramadan would be so hungry, they would come to the court of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would show their tummy. Why? Because, you know, they were so hungry to that extent that they would let it happen. did the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had any limitation in terms of provisions? He could seek whatever.
Yeah, the treasures of this world and the next.
And the next. But he deliberately chose to stay like that. What he was demonstrating is that simplicity is the beauty of life. This is the health. So what fasting actually is doing, it is actually shielding our good bacteria. You talked about the health, but actually, if you bring it right down to even microscopic level, it is still providing us shielding from the effects of the bacteria.
So through these medical terms and through these more academic terms, all of a sudden, again, we go back to the same point that everyone gets impressed. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us 1400 years ago or more, that's when our love for the Prophet alaihi salatu wasalam even increases further. And at the same time, we also question ourselves that only if we could follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the true essence, in the true meaning, only then, inshallah, we would also be healthier,
that's right,
and happier,
that's right,
and prosperous, and successful in this world and in the hereafter. Very beautiful discussion, Dr. Samir, sharing over here. But I will just stop you over here for a second and take our views of Madani channel to our next segment, where inshallah, beautiful Madani pearls are waiting for them. So let's go to this segment, inshallah, and straight after this, we'll continue our discussion from where exactly we are leaving it. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Fast is a shield against physical illnesses, and it's a very great way of a patient attaining cure. And there are narrations in this regard as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sumu tasihu, fast you will gain health. And even in the Quran, when the Quran mentions those who can make up the fast afterwards and those who are excused, even for those people it says, Wa anta sumu khayrun lakum, and if you were to fast, it would be better for you. So there are many hidden benefits of fasting, which even modern science today attests to as well. Doctors often prescribe intermittent fasting to their patients as well. This helps even people with mental health illnesses, psychological illnesses. It's good for them as well. There's an account that I'd like to mention regarding Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahma, that in the month of Rajab al-Murajab, he had a dream that his father, Ra'isul Mutakallimin, Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan alayhi rahma, blessed him with his vision and said to him, "Oh son, you will fall very ill, but do not miss the fast." Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma himself says, "I fell very ill, and the doctors of the time, they would say to me, 'Don't fast, it will deteriorate your health.' But no, I fasted, alhamdulillah, and I also gained cure from the court of Allah Azza wa Jal through the blessings of fasting." So if possible, we should fast. Yes, this is a different thing where you have predominant thought and you know from experience that fasting will actually lead to my illness increasing. That's different. But we're saying sometimes you have to summon the willpower and you have to have yaqeen in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you will fast and you will attain cure insha'Allah ta'ala. And there are so many benefits as well. In one narration, the Bani Israel revelation was sent to the Prophet of the time that tell your ummah, whoever fasts for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will bestow upon them good health and ajr, reward as well. So fasting is beneficial and it saves a person from physical illnesses as well. Do fast inshallah to gain good health.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Beautiful Madani pearls. And now let's resume our discussion where we left it from. Dostab, you were beautifully mentioning regarding how beneficial it is for us to fast, to stay hungry, and even the medical science is proving it today, and it has also been proven by the elites of this field in the 21st century, where they also encourage people to stay hungry for their own well-being, not only for their health, but for their own well-being, which I think is next step ahead of being healthy. So in this regard, what else would you like to share with the viewers of Madani channel in terms of keep fast, stay healthy?
Subhanallah. So So another point I want to make is around, you know, we're talking about pandemic. You know, that's a word which is very, so I think it's used a lot.
Indeed, I think the most used word in the last year or two.
That's right, absolutely. And, you know, and we can see how worried we are about that, obviously, you know, with an infection. But another pandemic, which we have actually been going through for years now, and that's the pandemic of obesity, of being overweight.
Right.
So if you look at the statistics, they are stark because there are over 600 million people in the world, and the latest stats are even worse, who are obese. And that is people who are what we would call, so they are unhealthy to the point in terms of their weight that we are seriously worried about the consequences of poor health. And that is adults. Amongst children, 107 million children, they're also suffering with obesity. And where are most of these children and most of these adults? In industrialized world.
Right. Where it's more easy for them to eat whatever they want to.
That's right. And so this is the place of provision. This is the place of opulence. That is where people are actually suffering with all of this. And another thing which, again, would be of interest to the audience, if we look at from scientific perspective, the entire human history from when the humanity began until about 7 years ago, never in the history of humanity more people died of hunger than anything else. So it was actually hunger which was a prime reason for human mortality, for death,
right,
since the beginning of human history. And about 7 years ago was the first year in human history when more people died of overeating than undereating. First time ever, you know, World Health Organization and so many other healthcare organizations, they huge publications around this particular, that, you know, we have changed the flow of history, we've changed the face of history. Because this is how much we have, and this is how much we're abusing the bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So when we talk about, I mean, these are, you know, the numbers, they look huge, but actually on the back of these numbers, it is my children, it is the children of our audience, of our viewers, it is somebody from our own family. So then they are not numbers, these are humans, these are relatives, these are our loved ones. Why it is all of that happening? Because again, if you go back to the principle, over 14 centuries ago, what were we taught? When you eat, divide your stomach capacity into three. One for food, one for water, and one for air. So we were taught all of that. And now, what we are doing, when people get morbidly obese, you know, this is where they get diabetes, they get high blood pressure.
It leads to many other ailments.
Exactly. So this is what we would, you know, so this is the stomach is actually the core of diseases. That's what all these hukama and all these people believed from years, from centuries, that it is actually the, that's where the disease would start.
Right.
So we were taught there at that time that you have to divide the capacity of the stomach and split it into three. And there is also another hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The closest meaning is that few morsels of food are enough for a human to keep his back straight.
Subhanallah. Again, comprehensiveness and conciseness.
Absolutely.
At its peak.
At its peak, exactly. So if you bring it all together, fasting is actually help us shield from obesity.
Subhanallah.
And what we are doing in this modern bariatric surgery, so we're saying that all these people, when they get to that severe level, what do we offer them? We offer them to actually put a ring on their stomach.
Allah.
To reduce its capacity to what? To about a third.
So we're ultimately going back to the same principle.
Exactly. So I said, you know, after all of this, so much medical advancement, so much of that. And in the end, what we decided to offer them exactly
what the Prophet ﷺ instructed us
so many years ago, and he actually taught us that you can do it yourself. This is through your self-control. You could achieve that. So if we don't stick to those principles of fasting, then the risk is that this is where we as humanity are heading. And then it's not just limited to the gut, but actually, so to give you another number, that if we look at this whole relationship and why this teaching is so important, that gut, now we are recognizing that there is this whole concept of what we call gut-brain axis.
Right.
And that's the relationship of the gut through hormones, through this microbiome, which I discussed, through several other things, directly with the brain, which is actually helping us lead a healthy life. So why that's important? Because what we are filling ourselves with, and if we are amongst those unfortunate ones who deliberately don't keep fast, and we think, oh, actually, I can follow the other dieting mm-hmm. principles, I can follow the nutritionist advice, and I can follow all these pieces of advice, then what we are actually missing, that to give another number, there are about, for every human on average, we have about 100 billion neurons
Allah
in our brain.
Allah.
100 billion neurons. So this is the nerve cell. This is what helps our brain function properly. And what this gut-brain axis is doing, it's actually ensuring the health, not just of the gut, but through that, the health of the brain, the health of the neurons. And to give an example, that what happens in a stroke, so when someone gets a stroke, they actually lose about 1.9 million neurons.
Allah,
and that is every minute while they're getting a stroke. 1.9 million neurons.
Every minute.
Every minute for that cessation, the stoppage of blood supply to the brain, which has led to the stroke. And that is equivalent to 12 kilometers of fibers.
Allahu Akbar.
12 kilometers of fibers. They're losing every minute as a result of stroke. And that is from this grand total of about 100 million neurons, which every human being is carrying in their brain. All of that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving us an opportunity to shield it. The reason why I've given you the number of stroke is to just give you an idea of the significance of these neurons,
mm-hmm.
how important they are to our health. Allah ta'ala is actually giving us an opportunity. Follow the principles of my beloved. The principles he's given you, follow him. And the benefit of that is that I would shield you from all these diseases, from the physical, from the spiritual, from all of that, just by following the prophetic
teaching. Beautifully mentioned also, and I think the neurological diseases that you just touched upon, it's quite surprising for me, being someone who's not associated with the field of medical, that how important our gut is in terms of the whole body. The abdominal area, because the food that we eat, it goes in our gut, obviously, in our stomach. And from here, even your neurological diseases are also connected with our gut. So how important our stomach area is in terms of the health of the entire body,
right.
In terms of severe illnesses, severe diseases like your strokes, and I'm sure heart diseases,
right.
A big portion of it, or a percentage of it would also be associated with our gut in terms of what we actually eat. And it's quite surprising for me to learn this, that our gut is very closely connected with our brain and our heart and other body parts as well. And it all leads back to the same principle, same point, where, you see, the statistics that you just mentioned about more people dying of obesity than hunger 7 years ago, first time ever in the history of the mankind. If you look at the basic of it, what was the base of it going against teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now, if you think about it, again, let's take the example that, okay, I'm not doing this, why? Because it's just a sunnah, it's not part of the problem. But look at the consequence.
That's right.
Now the doctor is telling you to do the same. Now doctor is saying it to you, that's not part upon you either.
That's right.
Why are you following that now?
Exactly.
5-2 diet is not obligatory for you. Intermittent diet is not obligatory for you. That's not fard upon you. If you don't do that, you won't be held accountable for it. Why are you doing that now?
Exactly.
When you prescribe your patients that you need to fast for this blood test, why do they do that? It's not obligatory upon them.
Right.
It's not fard upon them. They're not going to be held accountable for not doing that.
That's right.
But over here, we just leave a sunnah. Why? Just a sunnah. This is our attitude. And look at the consequence. What people have faced over several years. Now, more prosperity these people are enjoying. But on the other hand, this is a surprising start for me. The first time ever in the history of mankind, people have died because of overeating than hunger. This is unbelievable. And I think for many viewers of Madani Channel as well, this would be an eye-opener that we're just going in the exact opposite direction of what the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam told us. And even if food is available for us, we should divide our stomach into three portions and eat only a little bit. And the beautiful hadith that you mentioned, that a few morsels are enough for us to keep our back straight, are enough for a man to keep his back straight. What a beautiful, again, comprehensive, concise and precise hadith that is, which covers many principles of modern medical science as well. Modern medical science is going back in the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to find the solutions of the modern day age problems. Modern day science is bringing back the principles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in the 21st century on the name of, I don't know, different names.
That's,
you know,
true.
Different medical names. Right. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has already told us about this. So, sir, I would ask you one question, based on your experience, based on your profession. How many patients have you treated whom you know act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and fast regularly? I know many brothers who, alhamdulillah, fast every Monday and Thursday, who keep the fast of Rajab, Sha'ban, and of course Ramadan as well. How many times have you come across those patients who are severely ill, who have chronic diseases or heart diseases, or they have neurological diseases, who you know, but they fast as well? How many of them have you come across?
Very rarely.
Very rarely. Yeah. Again, the benefits of fasting you've just mentioned, where our bowels, they work like dishwashers and they kill the bad bacteria. If imagine a person who's regularly fasting, this is what's happening inside his body. Bad bacteria is being killed and the good bacteria is replenishing, is redeveloping. Imagine the state of his health, and maybe we sacrificed upon the wisdom and the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, that in the 21st century we see the modern day science is going back at the principles of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and bringing that within the prescriptions of his treatment and giving to the patient. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Maybe we sacrificed upon the wisdom of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, upon the teaching of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and upon this great wisdom of fasting being a shield against physical ailments. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, what other proof or what other excellence do we want to know before we can develop a mindset for fasting? Within this program of ours, we've covered spiritual benefits as well. We've covered the benefits of afterlife as well. And now we've covered the physical benefits, the health benefits as well. The modern day science is going back to the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and bringing that into practice and giving that solution to his patients. What are we waiting for? And mashallah, our Honorable Dr. Khurram Attari Sahib, he is a doctor by profession. He himself is acknowledging the fact that those people who do fast regularly, very rarely it is seen that they face a severe disease. Illa mashallah, there could be exceptions, but generally speaking, those people who do fast, they are a lot more healthier as compared to those who do not fast. And now the new statistics are telling us that more people are dying because of overeating than hunger. First time ever this happened in the history of the mankind. Main reason behind this is going against the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Islam is a beautiful religion. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, whatever he stated is haqq, is truth. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us is for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Follow the teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Do fast, keep fast, and remain healthy. Gain the blessings of the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And inshaAllah, you'll see an improvement in your health as well. So, just to conclude our entire program, all the discussions that we've been having in all these programs of ours is, do not miss fasting. By missing fasting, we'll be putting our afterlife on compromise, we'll be putting our spirituality on compromise, and we'll be also putting our physical health on compromise as well. So don't be at the losing end. Do fast for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will get the blessings of the afterlife, you will get the blessings of your spirituality, and you'll get the blessings of your health as well, which in return we should use in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fulfill this command of Allah Almighty, fulfill this fard of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in the form of fard, which is a worship of a great degree, which is one of the pillars of Islam, and attain the goodness, the well-being of this world and of the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to fast in His true sense, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also be pleased with us and bless us with well-being in this world and in the hereafter. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Daman tafrasuhulullah, the blessings of Shaban. Daman tafrasuhulullah, the blessings of Shaban, the blessings of Shaban.